What do you want your life to be like in 10 years? Now, I know there are certain things in life we can't control. I heard some stories this morning about some tragedies occurred, and we do have some things we cannot control. But the simple matter of fact is, today's choices that you make will determine the course of your life. I don't know that we think about choices in that light. I don't think we realize how important choices are. Now, it's true physically, but it's also true spiritually. And I don't guess he'll mind. Bill has lost how much weight now? 100 and how much? How much? What? 106? 106 pounds. Now, he has made some very important choices in his life. And because of that, it's affecting the course of his life. And it will, and hopefully will make your life much longer. Now, we see that physically. We see it in the financial realm. You say, well, you know, I'd like to retire with $1 million. Well, good luck with that. But, you know, you'd like to, when you retire, have money you can live off of. And so as you're working today or working in your job currently, you're hopefully putting away a certain percentage of your income so that down the road you will have what you need. Now those are very obvious. But I think we forget sometimes that our spiritual choices determine our spiritual course. And there's a huge difference, by the way, between the financial decisions or the physical decisions and the spiritual decisions. Now, I'm excited for Bill. This is great that he has worked this hard and lost all this weight. And that's wonderful. And I tell you, I have great respect for anybody who can lose weight, much less 106 pounds. That is a great show of will and strength to do that. And I tell you what, I appreciate it. But the simple matter of fact is, that decision will change his life, but probably won't change his eternity. Now, the spiritual choices you make and that I make every day are going to change our eternal destiny, number one, and it's going to affect our eternal reward. It's going to affect everything eternally. So these choices, folks, are very, very important. Now, we're in the middle of a study comparing two lives. The lives of two men that had much in common, and yet their lives ended very differently because of their choices. These two men are David and Saul. Now, I started this lesson 3 weeks ago. Let's review real quickly what we've covered so far. Their lives examined. We think about the things that these guys had in common. You help me here. I know it's been a long time, but we've been studying in 1 Samuel now for a year or so. What are some things that David and Saul had in common? They were both Israelites, all right? Same nationality. They were both called by God, ordained by God to be kings. Very good. What else? That's two. It has been a long time, hasn't it? Yes. They were both, yeah. In fact, it's interesting. The Bible uses the word goodly to describe both men. They were both tall, dark, and handsome. They were both fine-looking guys, all right? What else about them? You're doing well. They were both soldiers and leaders. They both had great leadership ability. Good? I have one more. Come on. Let's go for the sweep. This one's more of a spiritual realm. Yeah, I guess we could say at one time he was, but be more specific. They're both what? Prophets? Yes, they were at times. What enabled them to prophesy? The Holy Spirit. There we go. They were both, at times in their life, controlled by the Spirit of God. So here are two men with a great deal in common. But now think, let's travel now all the way to the ends of their life. How did their lives end? Well, Saul was a miserable man who was controlled by an evil spirit and eventually fell on his own sword on the battlefield. Not a great ending. David was the sweet psalmist of Israel, wrote most of the Psalms in the Word of God. A man after God's own heart. A man who really strengthened the nation Israel and solidified his reign and prepared for the building of the temple. David died an honorable death. He was a man that did a great deal for the Lord. Now, we covered two of the four qualities of David's life, and I don't really respect you to remember these, but let's review those quickly, cover two, and we'll add two more this morning, and then look at Saul's life briefly and conclude. Four things I want you to see that were true about David's life that brought him to a good end, and they need to be true about our lives. Number one, he lived to give a proper view of God to the people. Now, we use a different term for that. We say he tried to do what? Glorify God. He lived to give glory to God. Notice Psalm 86:12 says, I will praise thee, O my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. David was consumed with making sure that when people looked at his life, saw the way he lived, saw the way he responded to circumstances, that God was glorified. That people got a right view of God. Now, we see that in 1 Samuel 17. Again, this is all review. You don't have to turn to it. When he fought Goliath. When he came to that battlefield, what were the people concerned about? Well, they were concerned about their own life. They were concerned about the rewards if they fought Goliath. David said, hey, there is a cause. There's a reason to fight this guy because he is blaspheming our God, and I want people to have a right view of God. And so he stood up and he fought against Goliath. We see it in his affliction when he was in the cave running from Saul. He said, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. And you know, the simple matter of fact is we should have the same goal in our life. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. How'd you do this week? My wife was over this ladies' retreat, was gone this weekend, so I went wild, went to the Daniel Boone football game. Yes, indeed. And before I went, I said, now, Lord, help me to have to give a proper reflection of you. I also had the opportunity yesterday to go to the UT game, and I sat around a bunch of guys who did not glorify God. I wasn't going to talk about this, but I'll do it anyway. Scott Martin went with me. In fact, he got the tickets to go, and he stood up about the third quarter, and he said, look, would you guys quit taking the names Lord and I mean, he just worked them over. Of course, they harassed him and bugged him the rest of the game, but I thought, there's a guy with courage. I wish I'd done it. Said, go get him, Scott. Come on. You know, in everything we do, we are to give a proper view of God by a holy life, by our speech, by our actions, by how we respond when problems come into life. And David was consumed with giving God glory. Secondly, he had the goal of walking with the Lord. He wanted to fellowship with God. Psalm 27:4 is a great verse. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. What was David's main desire? To walk with God, to be in God's presence. And we see the strength of that in Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And I think, oh my, is that my life's cry? What is it that your soul panteth after? I mean, what is that thing that you seek after with all your heart? The thing that set David apart, folks, was his highest priority was to walk with God. And by the way, as he walked with God, he got to know God. Isn't that true in your life? Some of you married long. How long have you guys been married? Womplers. 80? You're in your 80s, you've been married 50-some years? 60 years. 65 years. Do you know each other pretty well? I think so. There's probably nothing that Maxie doesn't know about Joe. Now, Joe doesn't know a thing about Maxie, but I'm sure Maxie knows everything about it. I mean, after you've been with somebody 65 years, hallelujah. And that's how long they've been married. They probably dated for a few days, too. Now, think about that. Now, some of you, now Amy's getting married Thursday. And you've been dating for how long? Since January. So there's, 9 months? And I'm sure you know some things about Hank, but you've got a lot to learn, sister. And but the more time you spend with him, boy, I tell you what, you're going to get to know him. Now, here's the great thing. As you make it your goal to walk with God each day, you're going to get to know who God is. And as you get to know who God is, it will change your life. You see God as a holy God. You see God as a powerful God. It's interesting. Turn to Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. Now, I'm going to give you another verse before we get there. Daniel 11:32 says, "But the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Now, think about that. Let me read that again. I'm going to ask you a question. But the people that do know their God, now, this is not Colossians, this is Daniel. But the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Somebody help me. What does that mean? Why is it that the people that know their God will be strong and do great things? What do you mean?
Well, if you know, in the army, they always tell us to know your enemy, then you know their movements and their whereabouts.
Okay. So in the same way, when you know your God, when you know God's power, when you know, when you have a close walk with God and know who he is, then it helps you to do what you ought to do. Now notice in Colossians, you should be there by now, in verse 10 of chapter 1, Paul's praying for these folks. He said, "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." Okay, you see what we're talking about here? Notice you see the word walk? There's the walk. They're walking. They're increasing in the knowledge of God. And when that happens, what occurs in verse 11? "They are strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." You see that, folks? You say, "Well, I just don't have any strength." Well, get to know your God. He is the source of strength. As you know him, as you walk with him. Now, this is true in the physical realm. Bob Daniels, some of you know, how many know Bob Daniels? Okay, some of you old-timers. They're moving back here. For years, Bob was my auto mechanic. Hallelujah. He worked for Bachmann Toyota, yeah. And he's coming back working. Now, if I had a car problem when Bob was here, no biggie, I'll call Bob. You know? If I have a tax problem or something, no biggie, I'll call Wade Farmer. He's a CPA. That's no, you know, it's nice to know people like that. You know, if I have certain problems, then, you know, I just call on somebody who knows something. If you have a financial problem or a bank problem, I call our local banker, Bobby Brown. You know, I've got a building problem, call Mark here. And, you know, there's all kinds of people. I've got an education problem, call Mike here. And, you know, it's kind of nice to have people that know things, you know. In fact, I've been struggling with golfer's elbow, which is funny because I play like, you know, five times a year. And Wednesday night, was it Wednesday night? Yeah, I talked to his name. Just left me. Goodness gracious. Barker, Shannon Barker, who's a physical therapist, and he said, hey, come over here. Here's my problem, man. How do I fix it? And see, when you know somebody who has knowledge, it really helps you out when you have a problem. Now look, when you have a problem, you're going through a great trial, and you know God. See, when you're going through that trial, you say, well, that's no problem. I know God. God knows all things. He knows what I ought to do. I can go to him and he'll give me direction. Or, you know, I need strength for this trial or whatever. That's okay. I know God. God has all power. He can give me power to do what needs to be done. See? So when he walked with God, he became a powerful believer. So two things quickly. He sought out to glorify God in his life. Secondly, he sought to walk with God. Thirdly, he sought to do the will of God. Now, I want some men to help me here real quickly. I've got five verses I want you to read. Raise your hand, I'll give you a verse. Psalm 25, 4, Psalm 27, 11, Psalm 48, Psalm 86, 11, one more. Psalm 143, 10. Now, these are all the words of David. And let's see what David says. Psalm 25, 4. Stand and read nice and loud and clear, Mr. Hayes, if you would please. Okay. Psalm 27, 11.
Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies.
Psalm 48.
I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart.
Good. Psalm 86, 11.
Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name.
Psalm 143, 10.
Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness.
Amen. David was consumed with finding God's will and doing it. How many times did you this week did you think, now, what's God's will in this matter? What do we usually do? Well, we think about it, and we decide what's best and do it. Right?
No.
Well, I'm not saying all the time. Typically. What should we do? We need to pray about it and seek God's will. Now, if choices determine the course, then the choices are really important. And yet, we make some of the craziest decisions based on what we think is the best for us. And then, after we make that decision, we reap the fruits of it for years to come. And we think, what an idiot. What was I thinking? David was consumed with doing the will of God. He wanted to know God's will. And by the way, how do you know God's will? Well, you call up one of these psychics, or you read your horoscope, or you send money to Benny Hinn, or no. How do you determine God's will? You flip a coin, you draw lots, you know, short straight. Where is it? How do you know God's will? Now, I'm going to go back to the Wompers here again. I'd say probably most of the time when there's a decision to be made, you probably don't have to talk a whole lot about it. I mean, they've been making decisions 65 years. I would say if I gave you 10 decisions you had to make and put you apart and ask you to make those decisions, probably 8 or 9 out of 10 would be the same. Why? They know each other. They've been walking with each other for 65 years, or whatever it was. What'd you say? 65 years. Now, what happens to a believer as they walk with God? Well, to walk with God, you've got to spend time in God's Word. You've got to be praying. You're going to know God's will. You're going to know God's will. As you are controlled by the Spirit of God, He's going to take the Word of God, and He's going to show you what you ought to do. Now, obviously, all throughout Scripture, there are people that are great examples of those who are consumed with doing God's will. Of course, the greatest example of that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. In John 4:34, Jesus saith unto them, that's the verse I just gave you, John 6:38 says, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. In Matthew 26:42, He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He said, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And of course, when He was on the cross, He said, it is finished. What was finished? His Father's will. He spent His whole life doing His Father's will. You say, but wait a minute, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just a human. What about the Apostle Paul? It's amazing to me, when Paul got saved on the road to Damascus, what's the first thing he said to the Lord? Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what is your will for my life? He was consumed with the will of God. I've been reading through the book of Acts in my devotions. And in Acts chapter 16, you know the story. He wanted to go north on his second missionary trip. And the Lord said, no, you can't go up to Asia. You can't go to Bithynia. I want you to go to Macedonia. And so instead he went over to Corinth and Thessalonica and all those places. Why did he do that? Because he was seeking to do the will of God. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Why did Paul write 13 books in the New Testament? Why was Paul probably the greatest missionary of all time? He was consumed with what? The will of God. And yet we go through our Christian lives today in 2010, and I would guess probably many of us this week probably didn't even think about the will of God. What is God's will? And we make choice after choice after choice after choice based on our own finite knowledge, and then we wonder down the road, well, why did that happen? You know, why am I in trouble? You know, why is my course of my life going this direction? It's because we're not concerned with the will of God. Hudson Taylor, I've got several illustrations today from his life. Here's one of them. He said, I am no longer anxious about anything as I realize this, for he I know is able to carry out his will, and his will is mine. Wow, that's a statement. His will is mine. It makes no matter where he places me or how. That is rather for him to consider than for me. For in the easiest position, he must give me his grace. In the most difficult, his grace is sufficient. What a great line. Hudson Taylor said, you know, I'm not too concerned. I'm not anxious. Just doing the will of God. Now, in the Lord's Prayer, when we pray, we are supposed to say what? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I was wondering if you knew that. We don't say the Lord's Prayer much here, right? Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and perfect, or acceptable and perfect, what? Will of God. Will of God. David had an honorable life and honorable death. Why? Well, one, he set out to glorify God. I mean, he was consumed with glorifying God. He was consumed with walking with God. He was consumed with doing the will of God. And finally, this morning, he was able to trust in the way of God, in God's sovereignty, in the fact that God is in control. I know we talk about this a great deal, and I really hesitated as I wrote the lesson. I thought, man, we talk about this all the time. But you know what? This is a great comfort to the Christian. What if your life was just a bunch of random events that had no rhyme or reason? By the way, if you think it is, as a believer, it's not, okay? I mean, when tragedy comes in your life and you have no foundation or belief of the sovereignty of God, what are you going to do? You're going to fall apart. David knew that God was in control. This is a great verse, Psalm 115:3. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. What does God do? God does what he wants to do. God has that power. He is in control. Psalm 47:2 says, for the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. Even in control of our toils and troubles and difficulties. Psalm 66:11 says, thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. He said in Psalm 31:15, my times are in thy hands. What does David believe? David believes that God is in control. He's the author, or he's either authoring or allowing the events that come in our life. And not only did he believe God was in control, but he also believed God was good. Psalm 119:68 says, thou art good and doest good. Psalm 34:8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. So God is in control of the life, and he is going to do that which is good. Now, I want to read you a long excerpt from, this is from Miss Lassie's lesson. This is about Hudson Taylor. His wife and child have just died. He's in China. He's a missionary in China. It was very difficult, very, very difficult. Here's what he says. I know my father reigns. This meets all questions of every kind. But a few months ago, my home was so full. So now it's so silent and lonely. Samuel, Noel, my precious wife, all with Jesus. Often of late years has duty called me from my loved ones, but I have returned, and so warm has been the welcome. Now I'm alone. Can it be that there is no return from this journey, no home gathering to look forward to? Is it real and not a sorrowful dream that those dearest to me lie beneath the cold sod? Ah, it is indeed true, but not more so than there is a homecoming awaiting me, which no parting shall break into, no tears mar. Love gave the blow that for a little while makes the desert more dreary, but heaven more home alike. Now notice, and the same loving hand that makes heaven more home like is the while loosening the ties that bind us to this world, thus helping our earth-cleaving spirits to sit looser, awaiting our own summons. I know my Father reigns. This meets all questions of every kind. I cannot describe to you my feelings. I do not understand them myself. I feel like a person stunned with a blow or recovering from a faint, and as yet but partially conscious, but I would not have it otherwise, no, not a hair's breadth for the world. My Father hath ordered it so, therefore I know it is, it must be best, and I thank him for ordering it. I feel utterly crushed, and yet strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Oft times my heart is nigh to breaking, but with all I had almost said, I never knew what peace and happiness were before, so much have I enjoyed in the very sorrow. I find increasing comfort in the thought that all things are really in our Father's hand and under his governance. He cannot do but that which is best. God nothing does nor suffers to be done, but what he would do the same could we but see through all the events of things as well as he has. What is he saying? He's saying, look, everything God does, if we knew what God knew, we'd do the same thing. From my inmost soul, I delight in the knowledge that God does or deliberately permits all things and causes all things to work together for good to those who love him. But most of all, I joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, in his works, his ways, his providence, in himself. He is giving me to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I do rejoice at thy will. It is acceptable to me. It is perfect. It is love in action. And soon in that same sweet will, we shall be reunited to part no more. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've got the lesson, I would encourage you to go home and read that again for yourself. How did Hudson Taylor survive when two sons, two children had died and his wife dies? Now, can you imagine? I cannot. But he said, the thing that brought me through was knowing that God knows what he's doing and God is in control. And God does good. The sovereignty of God. And that is the thing, folks, that carried him through those difficult, difficult days. My life has been pretty easy compared to Hudson Taylor's. There have been some trials. There's been some expectations that were not fulfilled. You know, I'm 50 years old now. You know, it's time for... is it time for a midlife crisis yet? I've been thinking about having one. I just want to make sure I did it the right time. You know, I've been thinking about buying a Harley. I really have. But you get to a certain point in life and you think, you know, well, when you're young, well, I will have accomplished this and this and this and this. And you get that point in life and say, wow, I didn't do that or that. There have been times when things had not go the way I wanted to. And again, my life is blessed. I mean, God has been very good to me. Many of you have been through huge, difficult trials. But what a comfort to know that when those things occur, folks, that God is still on the throne. And that God loves you. And that even through those trials, God wants what is best for you. You say, whoa, 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 whoa. You don't understand what I've been through. I don't. But God does. And folks, knowing that God is in control and that God is sovereign in my life brings me great comfort. If he puts me in a trial, he's got a purpose for it. His grace will be enough to get through it. What a great comfort to my soul. God is in control. Great truth that helped David in his times of running from Saul. Can you imagine? Again, he's been anointed to be king. Now for 10 years he's on the run. He's, you know, nothing is going right. He has several chances, by the way, to kill Saul and do it in his time. But he believed in the sovereignty of God. And he trusted that God would bring it about to pass when God wanted to bring it about. And so God blessed his life and he did great things. What about Saul? What was Saul concerned about? Was he concerned about the will of God? How do you know he wasn't? What's that? Yeah, he went to a witch, obviously, not the will of God. What else did he do? This is all in our study of 1 Samuel, which has been ongoing from... What else did he do? Where? Yeah, he sacrificed when Samuel didn't show up. He said, well, I can do this, you know. The only problem was God's will was not to do that. I think of one other. Yeah, when God said, go and kill the Amalekites, he spared Agag and the best sheep. Well, of course, it was the people's fault. He was not real concerned about the will of God. Was he able to trust God in God's way? Why was he out trying to kill David? A little trust issue there, I think. He knew, by the way, that David was going to be the king. He knew he'd been rejected. But he was not able to trust the sovereignty of God. Now, as we close this morning, let me ask you. Would your life and the choices you're making today be more like Saul or more like David? Are you actively seeking to glorify God, give a proper presentation of who God is to those around you? Are you walking with God? Are you seeking the will of God? Are you trusting in the way of God? I mean, do those descriptions describe your life? Or are you more like Saul? Doing your own will. Going your own way. Do my own thing. The choices you make and the choices I make right now, today, in 2010, are going to determine the course of our life. By the way, what was the will of God for you this morning at 10 o'clock? I know some of you are visiting, but for those that attend here regularly, what was the will of God? Good job. You did the will of God. Isn't that great? Well, I have to, or else they'll call me and give me a hard time. That's good, and I congratulate you on that. But by the way, what's the will of God for 11 o'clock? Well, I've got to get to the restaurant before everybody else gets there, right? Some of you may not know this. We have a service at 11 o'clock. No, I'm just kidding. You know that. I'm just joking with you. The will of God. Let me encourage you this week. Walk with God. Seek His will. Trust His way. Glorify God. I tell you, folks, if you want a life that is a blessed life, I'm not saying an easy life, but a blessed life, then let's be like David. Let's make the same choices that David makes. And you will know the presence of God. You will know the power of God. And you will know the peace of God. Don't you want that in your life? Well, I do. Often I pray, and Lord, I desire your presence. I want to know your presence in my life. Lord, I want your peace in my life. I want your power in my life. The way to get it is to do the will of God, walk in the way of God, and trust the way of God. Will you do it? Lord, help us this week to obey him and do his will. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these good folks, our good attention today. And Lord, help us as believers, I pray, to seek to glorify you. Help us to walk with you, to do your will, and to trust in your way. Lord, help us to be like David and not like Saul. Lord, we need your strength. We are just flesh. We often fail. We often fall. And Lord, we're asking you to help us to be what we ought to be this week. In Jesus' name, amen.